This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
I am Sarah Jane Case, and this is Enneagram and Coffee. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I am happy to be here. I hope you are having a great week. I had to run a couple of reruns last week as I have some things going on behind the scenes that I needed the time for. And I think I can tell you at this point, a dear friend of mine experienced cardiac arrest and they are okay. Everything is fine, but it was very touch and go. It was very scary. And I had to make a quick trip to Chicago. I've been here about a week and a half and everything is going really well. So that is exciting, good news, but it is also the explanation for if you caught the reruns last week, that's why that happened. And then this week, if my audio is a little off, it's because I'm recording remotely and not on my usual setup. So appreciate your understanding in that. I'm getting back into a rhythm. I have just a few more days here in Chicago and then we head home and we get back into our kind of usual routine. I have our monthly update coming for you next week. So you'll get more of a sense of how things are going, how I'm adjusting to having a full-time job and doing the podcast and all of those things too. But for today, I am answering questions texted into the podcast phone line. Now, as a reminder, if you have questions, you can always get them answered by texting or phoning in to 828-338-9127. Now, here is today's question. Hi, I have two questions about the Enneagram. I am a little confused about core motivations. Do your core motivations have to be aligned with your main type? I'm a 9 and I read through the core motivations for each type and couldn't decide if I identified with 2, 3, 6, 7, or 9 more. They seem to have an overlapping desire for belonging though, so maybe that's why. Also a question about subtypes. I mostly identify with the 9's self-pres, social, and sexual subtypes, but can and should you have subtypes different than your main type? And how do you know which type is my dominant, secondary, and tertiary? Tertiary? All right. Okay. So let's talk about motivations first. So this is the core of our type. It drives us. Now, I personally like to take that in combination with the basic fear. So it's often the thing that drives your behavior toward the opposite. So the fear for 9, the motivation is peace of mind. The basic fear is loss of connection. With that said, 9's are going to avoid being stressed and their behavior is going to move toward maintaining connection. Now, this could be why you see the sense of belonging as a driver for all of the other types that you connected with, because for you, that would be the motivation for the point of each of those. Because I can say as a 7, I wouldn't say that belonging is a strong motivator for me. But if you were looking at type 7 with a type 9 filter, you may interpret our behavior as prioritizing belonging. And in fact, I think there may be information in how each of these types believes they must belong, right? Because I think we all need belonging. It's like that's a human need. But every type is going to present that very differently, and how we earn that is going to look very different. So for type two, they earn belonging by being helpful and encouraging and being kind of giving good advice and being someone that people can rely on or people will need. Type threes do this by being successful and inspiring. They earn their place by being admirable. Type sixes do this by being loyal and following the rules of the established order, right? Like, okay, we're all in this community. The community has these specific set of expectations, and I'm going to make sure that I don't lose my place here. I don't lose my support by following those guidelines. Sevens do this by not missing out on experiences. Like, they want to be there when the fun is being had, and by being happy, right? If I'm happy, if I'm always bringing the joy, then I have my place. And there can be a real fear of losing your belonging if you show your darkness or your sadness or your heartache. And then for nines, your belonging is earned by making yourself and your opinions smaller to avoid separation. So if you are more easy to digest, you know, less offensive, less pushing things the wrong way, not pushing too hard, then you will not lose your sense of belonging. So for sure, we could all prioritize belonging, but it's going to take on different flavors. And that's really what the motivation is about. So for nine, it's that loss of connection. It's maintaining that peace of mind. Now, with all of that being said, I could make a case for every motivation, like to be associate with every single motivation, if I think about it long enough, because we are complex people who cannot possibly be summed up in a single sentence. However, I think if you think back to your life and the decisions that you've like often have made that didn't work out in your best interest, that can be really helpful information. So for me as a seven, it's like prioritizing short-term happiness in exchange for long-term stress. I would often stay up all night to not miss out on fun, but then have to pay that price later. Or maybe I would be spending money to make myself happy today when I needed to save it so I could be happy for the longer view of my life, which is...
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. What does the Weather Channel app share in common with a personal trainer and a life coach? It's an ally on your quest to wellness. What you do with its insight is up to you. Like running an extra mile when air quality is good, or checking your allergy forecast so not even ragweed can disrupt your chi. It's more than a weather app. What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, think through, like, what is truly driving your behavior? So for type nine, you know, where have you avoided stress or avoided conflict in a way that actually made you feel less connected to people, right? Because one thing that nines do is they don't talk about themselves enough or let themselves be seen enough to truly feel that connection. And so that could be something to play with or look at there as well. Now for subtypes, your subtype is always connected to your dominant number. So connecting to the subtypes of nine makes sense if you are a nine, because the subtypes are only relevant to your dominant type. Now, personally, I find it much easier to see my subtype through the descriptions of Beatrice Chestnut. They're much more in-depth than you usually find. I personally really enjoy the depth and the intricacy of her descriptions, and it makes our types much more distinct. So in terms of stacking, which is what we call, you know, which one's dominant, which one's secondary, and which one's repressed, I would start figuring out your dominant subtype. And that's really just looking at the descriptions. Again, I like the ones from Beatrice Chestnut, but you can really find descriptions anywhere. They're all going to vary a little bit because subtypes is kind of a controversial issue. People have different opinions. But for nine, self-prevs nines, I really like the framing of How does one of our dominant fixations interact with our subtype, and how does that change our type structure, the way that we show up? So if you think about the subtypes as our survival mechanisms, it's what you think you need to do so to survive. Self-pres types are thinking about their physical safety. Social subtypes are thinking about where they are in the social hierarchy. Sexual subtypes are thinking about that intense one-to-one connection. And the nines, they merge, right? They tend to have the tendency to merge, to shift to where they fit in with the group and not disrupt. So for self-pres nines, they tend to merge with their home, right? They are like creature comforts. They like cozy hobbies. They tend to be a homebody. They like to have like a calm life. Social nines tend to merge with the group. So they may tend to overwork or overcommit to group hobbies or their job or volunteer work. Sexual nines merge with a partner. So these are the types that start to look like the person they're dating and blend in with the interests of their partner. So from there, once you determine which of those feels most accurate to you, you can go into which one is repressed. So when you think about subtypes as how you feel you have to survive, you know, that is it physical safety, a strong place in society, an intense one-to-one connection, then you can think about what you prioritize the least out of these things. So if your social is repressed, you may deprioritize the importance of strong social connections. If self-preservation is repressed, you may find that you like taking physical risks or even finding yourself often in unsafe situations because you aren't vigilant about your safety. Or if your sexual is repressed, you may prefer large groups to intimate connection. You may rush through or avoid things that would increase intimacy with a single person. You may not like to put yourself in the spotlight or be seen too much. You may kind of tone yourself down. Now, the other thing to note here is that of all elements of the Enneagram, this is the one that I personally believe is most likely to shift as we change and grow. So when we go through something traumatic or as we get older even, we may find that what we believe we need to survive changes. I believe I was strongly social all of my life. And then in the last, 10 years, I have had experiences, a marriage, I grew a large following online, and I believe those things kind of all impacted me to where I've floated more towards self-pres and partially in response to these experiences. And now that is often more dominant for me than social is even. So I think as we shift and change, obviously, I think that's something that can shift for us, especially after, if you've experienced a threat in your dominant subtype, to me, it makes sense that it could change. Like what felt safe doesn't feel safe anymore. And so that's something to explore. Or maybe that need gets met in abundance. And so it doesn't feel as necessary to protect anymore. So I mean, and that's just my opinion. So take it with a grain of salt. But I hope that this is helpful. I hope this answers your questions. Now, as a reminder, again, if you have Enneagram questions, you can always text them in to 828-338-9127. And that's always linked in the show notes for you as well. As always, it is an absolute joy to create this content for you. And I will see ya Thursday for the next one. Bye.